With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Episode 183 of the Shock Jock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting podcast network. Sean St. Jacques back here with you for the last podcast of this calendar year of 2022. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you're enjoying the holidays and enjoying some time off with friends and family. As always, we're going to get to the Knicks. I'm down. Maybe you can hear it in my voice. The last three games have just been extremely gut-wrenching. Almost every last second of the fourth quarter just felt like a slow death. It really did, especially the last 5 minutes, but it felt like a slow, painful death in Dallas. We'll get to that. We will touch on the Bulls loss as well, and the tough one against the Sixers on Christmas Day. The Knicks play later on Thursday, the day the podcast is being recorded. They are in San Antonio on Thursday night. We will talk about that game next week because the podcast goes out. Or I should say I'm recording the podcast just before the game tips off. Have other things going on, obviously. So the way that's going to work is that we'll talk about it next week in the new year, believe it or not. This is the last podcast of 2022. An early Happy New Year to you and your family and your friends. And if we have time, we'll talk about what's going on around the rest of the NBA. The Nets are red hot. They've won 10 in a row. The Pelicans are still atop the Western Conference, trying to fend off the likes of Memphis and Phoenix. And we'll get to all of that if we have time. But boy, we have to slog through and pick up the pieces from one of the worst losses I think I can ever remember as a Knicks fan. The Knicks, going to Dallas, knew before the game they weren't going to have Jalen Brunson, so he was not going to have his return. Well, he was there. He was on the bench. He looked devastated, at the end. I think you could tell how much he would have loved it if his team could have picked him up and gotten the win. They did enough to win the game, the Knicks. They really did. And once again, the issue of closing games out comes to mind. I've been covering some college basketball the last few weeks, a little bit during the holidays as well, and it's so funny how the Knicks, unlike any other team, are especially in the NBA, they get talked about a lot in basketball circles, and I ended up having multiple conversations over the last couple of weeks with coaches, with media members, with friends, with colleagues about the Knicks and how they've been going about it the last few games. And the number one thing that I've been getting a consensus from, and that I've been saying as well, and this has come up many times before, it's not like we're saying anything new, but everyone is noticing it, people in the basketball world and just casuals, that the Knicks cannot close games out. They struggle to do it. And the Dallas game is a tough one in that regard, because one of the players now that you expect to close games out was not available. Jalen Brunson was sitting the game out, didn't play a minute, obviously. You also lose RJ Barrett 2 minutes into the game, and I think that was something that got forgotten about because of how well Emmanuel Quickley played, how well Quentin Grimes played, and how well Miles McBride played in the game. I thought all three of them were tremendous, and in particular, I thought Quentin Grimes, his performance overall, I thought was tremendous. He really, once again, showed the promise that we have been seeing from him over the last few weeks. and in his first two seasons in the NBA. You know, I thought Julius Randle played well too for maybe all but 3 minutes of the game. I really thought that, you know, he was being aggressive down the stretch when the Knicks needed somebody to have the basketball. I also want to give credit, you know, to Miles McBride. The Knicks obviously had the 9-point lead with whatever it was, 33, 26, whatever, however many seconds were on the clock. Miles McBride made some huge free throws down the stretch that put the Knicks in a position to win the game. Put the Knicks in a position to win the game. And, you know, he had 14 points, but he made 5 of 6 from the free throw line. I think 4 of those came in the last, you know, in the final few seconds of the game, and he stepped up and made the free throws. You know, that was something that I was thinking about during the game, because I have to admit, when the Knicks took a 9-point lead, I kept saying to myself, you got to get it to double figures. Get it to double figures. Put Dallas away. And the Knicks never did it. You know, and that was, you know, there were some missed free throws here and there, but you can't. I know Mitchell Robinson missed four free throws, but my other slight gripe in that regard, there's bigger gripes, but one of my thoughts on it is how on earth are you letting Mitchell Robinson find himself in these positions? Make sure he doesn't get the ball. Make sure somebody, anybody but Mitchell Robinson, gets the ball. Because again, these add up. 2 of those 4 missed free throws came back to haunt the Knicks in a really big way. That 2 of them opened the door for Spencer Dinwiddie and Luka to claw the Mavericks back into the game. And I'll get to Luka in a second, but I want to mention this as well. I thought the Knicks defensively handled pretty much all of it relatively well in the final few seconds. It came down to missed free throws because, again, Mitchell Robinson cannot be put in that spot. And I can't. I know it's he had a good overall game, 29 points and 18 rebounds. But Mitchell Robinson, I beg your pardon, Julius Randle missed 2 big free throws down the stretch as well. But the whole issue is that the Knicks should never have been in that position. The Knicks, for whatever reason, whether it's the DNA of the team, which starts with the coach, the lack of closing games out, that begins and ends with a head coach. That's a mental side of the game, you know? And so many of the tough losses the Knicks have had around this 8-game run where they've won 8 in a row and now they've lost 4 in a row after the debacle in Dallas have been lackluster execution in the final minutes of a game where the Knicks don't close a team out. I mean, we saw what happened in the Clipper game the other night as well. You've got to close a team out if you can. If you can get it to 12 points, get it to 12. And then if you're at 12, get it to 15 if you can. The biggest lead you can have in the late stages, the less chance an NBA team has of getting back into a game. Especially a team with Luka Doncic on it. And I got to give Luka a lot of credit. A lot of credit. He was the only Mav I thought that didn't give up. You know, when the Knicks had the 9-point lead, Luka would look like the only player still going for Dallas that was still trying to win the game, still trying to get everybody focused and try to execute down the stretch. You look around at the rest of the Mavs on the court, they were ready to give it up. They were ready to be done. They conceded they were going to lose the game. Luka kept fighting. Luka never gave up. And he had a historic night. 60 points, 21 rebounds, which I believe is a career high for him, and 10 assists. I mean, he was tremendous. Tremendous all night. Frankly, despite that, I think Dallas has to look at the fact that he had 60 in the end, but they should have lost that game. You know, Luka had 50 for a while, and the way that was going, he would have scored 50 and the Mavs would have lost the game. That's a bad sign for Dallas going forward. But Luka pulls a rabbit out of his hat at the end of the game. And, you know, McBride makes the free throws at the other end. It's a 3-point game. Luka makes the first free throw with 4.2 seconds left. Misses the second one intentionally. And then this is the play that I really, really want to look at as well, because I want to give Julius Randle some credit here. He makes the right play on the ball. And I actually talked with I talked with a college coach about this the other day. And we talked about it. He agreed. Julius Randle makes the exact right play you're supposed to make in that situation. He gets up highest. He has position. And he taps it into an area where it's very easy for a teammate to get it. You have a very high percentage, a high percentage chance that one of your guys is going to get the ball. The issue was the Knicks had two guys in the area. Neither of them let the other one get it. They both go for the ball, and it pops right into Luka Doncic's hands, and Luka, in one motion, throws it up to the rim, and it goes in with a second left to tie the game. Despite everything that happened, and the Mavs said after the game, they got lucky. Obviously, there's luck involved. But you got to make your own luck. And in a lot of ways, when you're not closing games out, you only have yourselves to blame. The Knicks have themselves to blame here. There's no question about that. And for me, I looked back at that play earlier today. I was at a loss for words. Quentin Grimes and Miles McBride both had tremendous games. And they made a mistake. Neither of them, it's like a center fielder and a right fielder in the outfield of a baseball game. Someone's got to take charge, or someone's got to call the other one off and say, it's mine, give it to me. In my opinion, that's not being talked about enough. As they say across the pond, it's a schoolboy error. It's a very simple mistake. And in my opinion, Grimes is right there. If Miles McBride doesn't go for the ball, Grimes makes the catch. And the Knicks win the game. I'm almost sure of it. Because all he has to do is make a couple free throws, and Dallas has to heave it at the buzzer. Game's over. Although with Luka, who knows? Maybe he makes it anyway. Who knows? But you're almost assured of a victory if Quentin Grimes is unabated there and just catches the ball. Game's over. He could also, again, if he catches the ball with a second left, he just has to turn. The game's over. You take another half second off the clock, it's done. Game is over. But they collide. The ball pops up. Luka's right there. And you got to give Luka a lot of credit. I'm not sure there's anybody playing in the NBA right now that seizes a moment better than Luka Doncic. Maybe Steph Curry, but Luka, he just has a knack for being exactly where he has to be in the big moments. And he's right there to stick it back up all in one motion. He knew exactly how much time was on the clock. He knew exactly how he had to get it back up for the best chance to pop in. And he flings it back up right at the rim, and it falls in, tie game. And if you thought the Knicks are going to go on and win it in overtime, God bless you. I thought they had no shot. I knew the game was over as soon as that basket went in. Quickly heaves it at the other end. He had no chance of making it. It's such a difficult shot from that distance. Although I think he hit the backboard, to be fair to him. And then you go to overtime, and it was done. The Knicks had ran out of steam. They ran out of gas. You could see it when they were going to the bench after Luka made the shot. The game was over. And again, if Jalen Brunson plays the game and that happens, you could think maybe Jalen Brunson or somebody can lead you in overtime. You didn't have Jalen Brunson. You didn't have RJ Barrett, and you had the Mavericks dead to rights. dead to rights. The game was over. Dallas thought the game was over. And you let them back in. And if you give Luka an inch, boy, does he know how to take a mile. 60, 21, and 10. He needed every point of it. Dallas won 26. Knicks won 21. Four straight losses. Absolutely devastating. Devastating loss. And by the way, in a season where the Knicks have had multiple, I mean, we're getting close to 10 now. Devastating losses. Really bad losses. Bad results. Where they look like they're going to win, or they have a big lead, either at the half or late in the fourth, or they, you know, had a chance to come back and they let it slip. They make a mistake. This one is the worst of the bunch. We keep seeing new lows with the Knicks not being able to close games out. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm really starting to run out of words to describe it. It was hard to watch live, because you can tell the moments where you could feel the Knicks letting the Mavericks back into the game. You could see it happen. I was watching the game by myself, but I texted a buddy of mine with 25 seconds left, and I said, "This is how you let the Mavs back in it. This is how the Knicks can lose the game." And my friend said, "They're not going to lose the game." And I said, "If they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to give the Mavericks a chance to tie the game." And the Mavericks tied the game. I still couldn't believe how they did it, but you could feel it. You could feel it happening. Teams that don't know how to close out games, you can feel when they are starting to lose their grip on a game. You can see it. You can feel it. Heck, you can smell it. It's all over them. You could see it falling apart very slowly. And if you don't put a plug in the hole, the boat is going to sink. And the Knicks left the Mavericks just enough time to climb back in the boat themselves and sink the Knicks instead. That's exactly what happened. The Knicks had put a cannonball through the side of Dallas's ship. They're sinking. They've hit the iceberg. They're going down. The Knicks are on the lifeboats, and the Mavericks, who are in the water, climb into the lifeboats, and they throw the Knicks out of the lifeboat. How's that for a metaphor? The game was over. The Knicks were safe. They were home. They were dry. And the Mavericks absolutely stole one away from them. And the tough part is, again, the tough part is really, is that after the incredible run the Knicks have just been on, they won 8 straight. They beat a number of very good teams during that run. The Knicks have now lost 4 in a row. And almost all of the good work they've just done to get themselves in a good spot in the playoff race has just been undone in a little under 2 weeks. It's unbelievable. But again, this is what we said last week. On the last show, I mentioned this. These next three, because the Knicks had just lost to Toronto, Pascal Siakam had 52 at the Garden, and the Knicks lost. They had that really bad foul call go against them at the end of the game with 2 minutes left. Siakam was fouled by Brunson. And I said, this is a big moment. The Knicks have got to bounce back from this, because one loss can turn into two, two can turn into three, and now here we are in reality, and three has turned into four. The Knicks have really started to go backwards again. And for whatever reason, this has just been the Knicks the last couple of seasons. When they lose one, they lose three. They can't stop the bleeding. Or they alternate. Win, loss, win, loss. They get a win, then they lose again. They get a win, they lose again. They get a win, they lose again. They get 8 wins, they lose 4. The consistency couldn't be more absent from this team. It's incredible. It really is remarkable how they can't seem to put a good run together without paying the price for it, almost. It's odd. It's in a way it is. It's become normalized with this team, you know. And now we have to see how long Jalen Brunson's going to be out. I'm not sure. I haven't gotten the chance to see yet. But Grimes and Quickley are going to. That's the other thing too that's devastating about the loss, right? I was looking at the box score again earlier today in preparation for the show. The Knicks throw away five really good performances. Julius Randle always gives you a great performance, but he was tremendous for most of the night. Mitchell Robinson, I thought, played his best game of the season. Was dominant, 20 and 16. He had 7 offensive rebounds. You know, Emmanuel Quickley, I know he shot the ball bad from the field. He was poor shooting the ball, but he had 13 points, and he had 15 assists. He had 11 assists in the first half, which was almost a Knick record. I mean, he couldn't have filled it any better as far as getting teammates involved. And Quentin Grimes has another one of his best games as a Knick, 33 points, throw in 6 rebounds, and he had 4 assists. I didn't even see that. He had 4 assists, made 7 of his 16 threes. Quentin Grimes was the leading scorer for the Knicks. He was tremendous all night. All night. And Deuce McBride had 14 points. And like I said earlier, he did struggle shooting from 3. But he made 5 huge free throws. Put the Knicks in a position to win. I know, again, he has the miscommunication with Grimes. It leads to the Luka putback. But McBride hits the free throws that gives the Knicks. His free throws give the Knicks a chance to win the game, despite everything that went against them at the end, despite Luka dragging Dallas back into the game. McBride goes to the line. He still makes the free throws. I mean, that takes guts. That takes a lot of heart to do that. So I give him a lot of credit. But then there's no debate. The Knicks coughed it up, and you got to give Luka credit on top of it. It was a combination, right? It's never, you know, the one of the dumbest questions you'll hear a reporter ask a player: did you lose it or did they win it? It's always both. Like, you can't. It's such a dumb question to ask. Like anything in life, there's multiple reasons why things happen, and the Knicks opened the door, or I should say, they left the door open. And Luka, the other Mavs, by the way, look at the open door and think, that's pretty far away. That door is pretty far away. I don't think we're going to get in that door. That door is 2 blocks away. We got to get in that door in 10 seconds. I don't think we're going to do it. And Luka's made it halfway across the first block. And he's thinking, no, we can get there. We're going to get there in time. Just keep running. Keep running. We're going to get there in time. And you're thinking, man, there's cars in the way. You know? It's a busy street. I don't think they're going to get through that door, man. And meanwhile, one of the Knick players finally, oh, the door's open. It's getting a little cold in here. Maybe we should close the door. And then the door's slightly, you know, you close it halfway. It's still open. Still open. And then before you know it, Luka's got a hand in the door. And as soon as you let Luka get a hand in the door, he's going to open the door and the game is over. And that's how you lose games to good teams. Man, Luka, I have to say, I was, in the moment, I was devastated. I was speechless for the next, like, hour and a half. I couldn't talk to anybody after the game was over. I had to write the article for the post game, but for the recap. However, in the days since the game happened, I come away being extremely impressed with the fight that Luka Doncic has. I mean, not many players in the NBA would have been able to do that. Not many. Luka is a very special player, and without his fight, you know, Dallas probably loses the game by 12 or 13. He fights back, and he comes back from 9 down with 33, 26, whatever it was, seconds left, ties the game, and then leads them to victory in overtime. Very impressive, but once again, the Knicks have some soul-searching to do. They really have some soul-searching. Because that was embarrassing. Again, you know, again, that's a word that I feel like we're almost overusing at this point, but the Knicks had the game won three or four times in the final 40 seconds, something like that. The game was over multiple times. You're thinking, that's got to be it. The game has to, you have to put them away right now. And the Knicks just felt the cold breeze coming from the door that was still ajar. And they thought, we'll get there. We'll close the door. And they never closed the door. And the Mavs came back, took full advantage, and they won the game. And it would have been the Knicks' best win of the season. I think that's the last thing I want to mention about it is no Brunson. Barrett plays 2 minutes, gets taken off with an injury to his finger, and you still outplayed Dallas for, let's say, 47 and a half minutes. And in the end, the last 30 seconds are what cost you the game. And it's a loss that, I mean, I'll just say this. I don't know how long the plane ride is from Dallas to San Antonio, but it must have felt like a 12-hour flight. I honestly, going into the Spurs game, the way the Knicks are mentally, I don't know how they're going to do. The Spurs are not very good. They've been playing a little bit better of late, but I could see the Knicks going and easily making this a 5-game losing streak, and then who knows what happens from there. The tough part is you just got to win one. Win one. Win one. And then it can turn. Like, that winning feeling for teams that struggle on the mental side of things is huge. Just win a game and it changes like that. Changes on a dime. But now we have to wait and see what happens. We'll talk about that game against San Antonio next week. You know, it'll already be final as the podcast goes out, but we'll see. But man, that was a tough way to come off the holidays going towards the new year. Make no mistake about that. I'm way over for the first half of the show, so I'm going to take the break here. When we come back, we'll briefly look back at the Sixers and Bulls games, two more heartbreakers, and then if we have time, we'll look around the rest of the league, and then we'll send you off into 2023. On the Shock Shock Knicks podcast, on the Posting and Toasting podcast network. All right, let's do the Chicago game first. This has been a downer, man. It's been a downer show. We have to talk about it. But it's a downer. It's a downer, you know, especially coming off the great couple of weeks the Knicks had had earlier in this month, and they're really finishing off 2022 with a couple of stinkers. I mean, it really has been a devastating end to the 2022 portion of this season. And, you know, I'll admit, you know, with the Chicago game, I didn't get a chance to watch the first half, but the second half, again, multiple chances for the Knicks to close the game out. The Knicks had a huge second quarter, which erased a tough first quarter where I thought Chicago played with that desperation we talked about. They needed to win the game. The Knicks in the third quarter, they win the quarter, but they had a chance to maybe extend the lead to double figures and potentially put their foot on the throats of the Bulls and put them away. They had multiple opportunities once again, but the stars for Chicago kept them in the game. Zach LaVine had 33. DeMar DeRozan, who hits the game-winning shot with less than half a second left, he had 25 and 10 assists. Nikola Vucevic is a Knick killer, 21 and 12. But to be fair, the Knicks had a huge performance from R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett puts up 44 points. Quickly puts up 15. I forgot about that. Randall had another big night, 29 and 12. You know, I thought Jalen Brunson struggled a little bit shooting, of course. He only had 12 points, but he still had 9 assists. And what's so great about Jalen Brunson is when he's struggling, he can still get other guys involved and they can flourish instead, and that's exactly what happened. But once again, in the latter stages of the game, the Knicks had plenty of opportunities to put Chicago away. They just don't have that killer instinct to see a team down and put them out of their misery, put them away, send them home. And yes, the Knicks win the season series over Chicago, but they should have swept them out of the Garden, swept them out of there. And that game really was a gut punch at the time, because coming off the Toronto game, you're thinking if the Knicks can get this win over the Bulls, you're kind of back on track. 9 out of the last 10 are wins, and you feel good. You feel good going into Christmas Day with a chance to pass or at least tie the Sixers. But you lose that game. You go to Christmas Day, and I had to watch the highlights. I didn't get a chance to watch the game live. But the Knicks come out in the first quarter, and they smack Philly around for 12 minutes. I thought they were much the better team in the first quarter. And then immediately they let Philly completely erase the deficit. Knicks had a 12-point lead after the first quarter. They let Philly right back in. They give up, I think, all but 1 point of that lead in the net, or all but two. They let Philly get right back into the game. And Philly, in my opinion, I know it was tight for a majority of the second half, but Philly was the team that took control right away in the second half. They rode the momentum from the second quarter, and the Knicks were playing catch-up for a majority of the second half. And again, Randall has a big night. Brunson, I thought, was great. RJ Barrett had a double-double. Mitchell Robinson had a big game rebounding the basketball. It's not like the performances aren't there. They are. Guys are playing well. It's the mental hurdle at the end of the game where the Knicks, especially, you know, I was talking to a couple of buddies about this when it comes to closing the game out. Even when the Knicks have the full complement, right? You know, on the offensive end, who's going to take the shots. It's more than likely going to be either Jalen Brunson or Julius Randle. Those are your guys down the stretch that are expected to take the shots. However, in my opinion, it's on the defensive end where the Knicks can't close games out. I go back to the Dallas game briefly. The Knicks, looking back, obviously hindsight's 20/20, but even in the moment, I kept thinking for five straight possessions, man, if the Knicks can just get a stop, they just need one stop. Get a stop. Because in that position, either then you're going to get fouled or you can take 15 to 20 seconds off the clock. The Knicks never got the stop they needed to close out the game. The Bulls game is similar. There were multiple times where the Knicks just needed a stop. Just get a stop. It's excruciating to watch. And the Knicks either don't get a stop and let a bucket go in, or they foul. And that was where the Dallas game was excruciating. The Dinwiddie three in particular, nobody even gets up on him. He basically stepped into a wide open three. He had plenty of time to make up his mind. The Knicks weren't, I know they don't want to foul, but you got to put a hand in his, get something to try to put off the shot. And he makes it. So then Dallas has, okay, Dallas, they've sparked it. They're back to life. They're back in it. And then again, the Knicks find a way. They just find a way to not close the games out. And when you leave the door ajar in the NBA, and the Knicks are not the only team. There's other teams. We talked about the Clipper game the other night. That crazy finish. You got to put teams away or they will come back and get you. And each of these last four losses in particular have been brutal. They've been absolutely brutal. And frankly, I don't know where the Knicks go from here. This is a problem that has persisted for almost the entirety of the season so far. You know, standings-wise, the Knicks are still in pretty good shape, but when you look at the way they finish games, you really wonder when it's going to really, you start to wonder, the Knicks will win games and all that stuff, but whether they're actually going to have success this year, it hinges on that. It hinges on their ability to close games out and specifically to get stops on the defensive end of the floor. They can't do it when it matters most. And that's a mental side of the game. That's a mental part of the game that I don't know if they'll be able to figure out. You know, this is a season where it could come down to the last few games as far as playoffs versus play-in, or maybe even play-in versus not getting in at all. And in those big games, if they're close, again, even the play-in, if the Knicks make the play-in and forget about the playoffs, can the Knicks, in a game that matters, get the stops they need to win consistently? I don't think they can. Not right now. And the good teams to great teams are making the Knicks pay for it. Boy, are they making the Knicks pay for it right now. And again, that Philly game was such a big opportunity, such a huge chance to make a statement. But once again, the Knicks continue to have a bugaboo against Philly in general, but especially when Joel Embiid is on the floor. They can't deal with him. They cannot deal with him. It's remarkable. It's again, it feels like a mental side of the game that the Knicks just don't have. It's not equipped. They just don't. They lack that ability to be killers. As far as, you know, that killer instinct. Put them away. Finish the game off. A 7-point lead, a 9-point lead, not good enough. Finish the job. Make it impossible for your opponents to come back. You know, one of the coaches I've been working with recently for broadcasts mentioned in the context with the Knicks, he said, it's why I get on my players, or why I used to get on my players when we had a 7 or 8-point lead. With 3 or 4 minutes left, put your foot on the gas. Put your foot on the gas. Because now, you have a 7 or 8-point lead. It's in your control now to put them down. Make it impossible for them to come back. You have a chance to win the game right now. Win the game. Don't wait to win it at the end. They might get back into the game by then. Win it now, because then it won't matter in 2 minutes of game time when you have a 12 or a 13-point lead instead of a 6-point lead. It's especially in the NBA, fine margins like that really dictate the outcome of games. Before we get out of here, because I'm getting... It gets frustrating. You get tired of talking about it. I've now been talking about it for almost 38 minutes here. But we'll look briefly around the rest of the NBA. And then I hate to have this tone, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating. I almost feel like I'm the boring teacher now, sending the kids off to break for the holiday with New Year's coming up here. But it's rough. It's rough being a Knicks fan all of a sudden again. It comes and goes, right? The last, you know, that 8-game winning streak, it was feeling great. And then all of a sudden, it's right back to where we're used to being, which is just absolutely, absolutely heartbreaking. It really is. Real quick, whip around the NBA. Almost as shocking as how the Knicks have been losing games lately, it's been the Brooklyn Nets and how they've been winning games lately. They obviously have a lot of talent, but didn't think that they'd be able to click this well. Again, we'll see how it goes. Long season, right? We said the Knicks, you know, they won 8 in a row, and all of a sudden, you know, can they be, you know, in that contention for the top 5 and 6? But all I'm saying is things change. It happens. So this won't last forever with Brooklyn, but all of a sudden they've won 10 in a row. Excuse me. And they're rolling. They've been tremendous. They've been... I think it's the longest winning streak a team's had in the NBA this year. I could be wrong, but at least of late, it's the longest, and they've been really, really strong as of late. Middle of the East continues to get congested. Miami's won 7 of their last 10. I told you, don't forget about Miami. I told you they're going to figure it out. They're starting to figure it out, and they're all of a sudden tied with the Knicks and the Pacers for that sixth and final playoff spot for the automatics before you get into the play-in. And despite the good performances of late from Pascal Siakam, the Raptors are still out of the play-in spots. It's remarkable that they still can't figure it out. They've won 3 of their last 10. They've been really struggling. And in the West, Pelicans are still at the top of the West, along with Denver. Phoenix has fallen off a little bit since the last time we mentioned them. Memphis is right there. The Clippers have won 7 of their last 10. Sacramento, man. Sacramento continues to stay in this thing. It's great to see for them and that franchise, especially the fans. The fans have been put through the ringer for 20 years, really, in Sacramento, very similar to the Knicks in a lot of ways. And good to see them finally getting back into the mix. And Dallas has now won 4 in a row after that miracle against the Knicks, included in there as well. And the Trailblazers and the Utah Jazz continuing to tread water in those play-in spots. One quick thing that I want to mention that's starting to really become a story in the West. Minnesota goes out, right? They get Rudy Gobert to join that team, and everyone, including myself, were thinking, is this their time? Can Minnesota put it together, and can they be the team that starts to challenge and break up the normal top six in the Western Conference? They are now 3 games below 500, and they're a game and a half out of the final play-in spot, which is currently occupied by the defending champion Golden State Warriors. And the T-Wolves have lost 4 in a row and 7 of their last 10. They're in a little bit of trouble. Minnesota, the way they're playing, I think they've been a little bit injury prone this season. They're in a little bit of a rough spot right now. They're in some trouble. And I'm very curious to see what the next few weeks are going to look like for them. And by the way, Golden State's won 3 in a row. But they still can't play. They can't win a road game to save their life. They're 3-16 on the road, 15-2 at home. That's the best home record in the West, but it's also the worst road record in the West. I don't know what Golden State is going to look like in the playoffs, especially if they don't have home court. If they can't figure it out as far as getting home court, and to be fair, they're still 3 games out of they're only 3 games out of the number 4 seed, and they're in 10th. Just shows you how crazy the West is, but they could be there for the taking. And Steph's still out, so Golden State's got some work to do. Klay Thompson now has been a little banged up, so Golden State's got a lot to try and sort out as we get into 2023. Make no mistake about that as well. That's going to do it for this episode of the Shock Shock Knicks podcast. Thank you all so much, as always, for listening. Let me know what you think about how the Knicks are handling things at the moment, especially in the latter stages of games. Let me know in the comments below on postingandtoasting.com, whether it's on the podcast or on one of the articles I contribute to the website, or you can hit me up on Twitter, as always, at SSaintJ7, to let me know your thoughts on the Knicks or the NBA in general. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy holidays. And I will see you all next time on the Shock Shock Knicks podcast on the Posting and Toasting Podcast Network.